Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So as you can see on the screen, the title today is Healed Now or Then? Healed Now or Then? Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 to 17 says, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. He said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. How amazing is that? This centurion is like, my servant needs healing. He was such a close servant to him. He was concerned for his servant. He goes and finds Jesus and says, will you heal my servant? Come, you know. And Jesus says, I will come. But Jesus says, I don't have to come. He will be healed. Go, he's healed. And in that moment, he is healed. It's like Jesus can just press the remote control and things happen in a whole nother place when we intercede for other people in the name of Jesus. Jesus moves. He is our healer. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, here's another story. There's so many stories in the Bible of Jesus healing. We could spend all day going through them. There's so many throughout the book of Acts, through the whole Bible, of miracles, signs, and wonders. But I'll finish this part with this last story. Jesus enters Peter's house. He saw his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Did you catch that? Jesus healed all who were sick, the ones that came to him. And it says in verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. What did the prophet Isaiah say? He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. He's talking about Jesus. He's speaking prophetically. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases through what Jesus was going to do on the cross. He was going to take our illnesses and heal our diseases. He bore our diseases. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. He is here today by the Holy Spirit. He's in you today. He's in me. He's around us. And he heals by his Holy Spirit. He works through his Holy Spirit through you and I. He is the healer. Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. He's able to heal. Have you been healed? Are you asking for healing? Are you believing for healing? But do we receive that healing now or later? What am I talking about? Now or later? He's able to heal. But there's a healing that's going to come on the other side of eternity. A full healing, the full coming of his kingdom. His kingdom is here now. He said his kingdom is at hand. It's here now, but it's also not yet. It's not fully here yet. We see Jesus heal everyone that came to him with sickness, with disability. He healed each person. He even raised the dead. And he's still doing this today. He's able. We've heard testimonies. Rhonda is a living testimony, miracle. Many of you have your own testimonies of things you've seen in others or in yourselves where God has healed. But do we receive healing every time we ask? Do we receive healing in the way that we expect it? There's such a mystery, isn't there, when it comes to God and when it comes to healing. I want to remind us today that healing comes through prayer. Healing comes through prayer. Did everyone that Jesus prayed for get healed? You guys are a bit not sure. You look in there 100% in the Bible, everyone he prays for gets healed. He goes to Nazareth, his own hometown. Not many were healed because they just did not believe that he was God's son. So a lot of them did not even ask. They did not even pray. You see, approaching Jesus is praying. That man going and saying, heal my servant, is praying. That's asking. We see so many stories of Jesus healing. He heals the official son. He heals the woman with the issue of blood. She's like, if I can just touch his garment, I will be healed. She was so desperate. That was her prayer, going to him and touching him. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter. He heals blind people. He heals the invalid. The invalid at Bethsaida. I call it Bethsaida. Some call it Bethsaida. Bethsaida. In Zimbabwe, say Bethsaida. Do you remember that one? Oh, Bethsaida. Yeah. So Jesus performs all these miracles and healing. Peter's mother-in-law is healed from a fever. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all our iniquities. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who heals all our diseases. This is who God is. This is what God does. And as Jesus walks this earth 2,000 years ago, he shows us his ways. He shows us how to live. The Spirit comes upon him. He moves in power. He heals people. But Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 19, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. He says, nothing that I'm doing is my own. He says, I look I spend time with the Father. I'm one with the Father. I seek the Father. And what I see Him doing, what I see is on His heart, that's what I do. He shows us how to walk intimately with the Father, how to seek the Father's heart. When He goes around, He's probably like, Lord, do you want to heal? Are you wanting to heal right now? Is it what the situation is? And we need to do the same. Lord, what's your heart in this situation? It's about walking closely with the Father through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. He is healer. I remember a few years back, 2017, by then we'd had a couple of kids, no, maybe just one, but my wrist was somehow injured. I just could not move my wrist in the normal way. There was so much pain in my wrist, and I couldn't work out what it was. Went to the doctors. They gave me something to put on my wrist, gave me exercises. And I was up at the prayer line at Yuma City every week as a pastor, praying. Nothing was happening for so long. People were saying, hey, we're praying for you. I'm like, Lord, what is going on? In that process, He was teaching me so much to keep asking, to keep seeking. And about the 8th or 9th month, the doctor had been saying, maybe get a cortisone injection. But she was like, I don't really recommend it because you're going to feel good and then it's probably going to come back, the pain, and then you're going to want some more, then you're going to keep asking me for it. But I was just like, just give me anything because I know God is at work. So I get that injection, and ever since then, that pain's been gone. And you could be like, oh, but that was the cortisone. I believe God was in that. I believe God is in the medicine. I believe God is in the medical practitioners. Healing has an extension in it of going to the doctors, going to medicine. A lot of the miracles I've seen in my life, they involve hospitals. They involve doctors. But we can have this hyper faith of, oh, I don't want to go to the doctors. Even sometimes Christians are like, oh, I've got a cold. Nah, I don't have a cold. I'm just going to claim it in the name of Jesus. I don't have a cold. Dude, you need to rest. You've got a cold. Like, that's not faith. That's not wisdom. God has given us doctors. Show me where in the Word where it says, don't go to the doctors. I haven't seen it. One of the disciples, Luke, was a physician. There you go. And then another miracle I've seen in my life is my brother-in-law. His name is Joshua. Back in 2022, we had just started working at Newman South and Boy Morris, leading that location, which is now this location. And our very first prayer and healing meeting that we started on a Sunday in June, we wake up to a message that Candace's brother has had all these severe migraines and loss of speech out of nowhere, and he's ended up in a hospital in an 8-hour surgery because he had a major bleed to his brain. And there was a rupture in what they call the AVM. But pretty much, he had to have this massive surgery and be in an induced coma. And we're going, what is going on? And my wife is trying to lead a prayer meeting, and her brother is in another state now in this surgery. And we started to pray. What are the chances the day we started praying in the healing meeting, now we're having to pray ourselves for family? The doctors were saying to the family, when he comes out of this, there's going to be some permanent damage. He's not going to be able to live life the same way. He might not even come out of the coma. There are all these uncertainties. But we can tell you today, praise God, he is now married. He wasn't married there. He's back working. He's living his life. And the doctors, even that week, were like, this is our highlight because we don't usually see things like this. God works through prayer, but he works through medicine and the doctors. So we all have testimonies. What testimonies do you have when it comes to healing? I have another friend. We can share later. Bring it tomorrow. She's excited. When I say that, it's to get you thinking, but I like it. She's excited. We might have time later. But I had a friend, and I still have a friend, a few years back. We're still friends. All of a sudden, he's in hospital. He's got this autoimmune disease called Guillain-Barré disease or something. He's He's paralyzed all of a sudden, all the way from his neck down. Somehow, just all he can do is move his eyes, and they have some laser alphabetical system in the hospital that he can use to communicate. And through that, he asked for the pastors to come and pray. And he was one of my close friends, Zimbabwean guy. So I go into hospital. I take him a Bible. I pray with him. And that, it's pretty much your nerves have just died. And there's recovery out of that, but it takes a long time. And it's pretty hard to get full recovery out of it. But once he was back again talking and slowly recovering, he was like, man, I was being tormented. He was paralyzed in his own body. He's like, I was being tormented by Satan, being paralyzed in my own body in the night. But when you gave me that Bible and my wife put it under the pillow, things shifted. Things shifted. People were going to hospital, praying in the spirit with him. And God healed him. And what's his name? Pastor Paul was just saying last week, in his situation with all the brain surgery he had, he still has vision impairment. And he was just saying God has this way of leaving these little things that help us keep depending on him, having faith in him so we don't forget. Yeah. Look at Jacob. He said Jacob still had a limp after he'd wrestled with God. What miracles. I could go on and on. Stress fracture in my foot from too much running. Got in a moon boot. And then later on, through prayer, went to get a scan. And you know what they say? They say, oh, it's well healed. They use the word healed. There's healing. You can be like, oh, but that was just because it took time with the moon boot. You rested. I don't think that's a God thing. But you know what some people say miracles are? Or you say it's a coincidence, but they say a coincidence is a miracle that God prefers to remain anonymous. Wow, you guys are a church. You know what I'm talking about. So there's all things that God is doing around us. And when we pray, it's not just wishful thinking. We pray from a place of faith. We pray from a place of, I have read it in the Word. We pray from a place of, this is God's heart. And if that's what he's leading you to, you pray with faith that God, you said you're going to do this. God, do this. You pray the Bible. When you pray the Bible. We need faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from the Word. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. So if you want faith for miracles, faith for healing, you got to know what the Word says, and you got to bring that to God. That's where faith comes from. And we heard it this morning, that unbelief comes in the way. Help me with my unbelief. You see, even the disciples, when they prayed, it didn't always get answered. They didn't always get what they were praying for. Jesus even said to them, "All you of little faith." But yet he still used them. He still answered some of their prayers. Jesus says, the kind of faith you need is as little as a mustard seed faith. That's tiny. God can work with that. That's all you need. But you've got to commit your unbelief to him too and be in his word. Have faith and believe in a big God, in a God who heals. I know there's so many things going through your mind right now. You know what Jesus said in Mark 16 when it comes to what we're talking about? He said, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are the signs that are to follow us, you and I, as we believe in the name of Jesus. Jesus, around the scripture that we're in Matthew 8, talks to the disciples and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He says, there's a massive harvest. He says, pray for the laborers. And then he actually sends those disciples out as the laborers. And what he says to them in Matthew 10, verse 8, he actually says to them, go tell people the kingdom is at hand. He says, go out there, heal the sick, cast out demons. Heal the sick, cast out demons. He instructed them to do that. But even when they went out to do that, they didn't always see it happen. But when we were with Jesus, it would happen. He was teaching them to depend on him, teaching them to follow his word, teaching them to be intimate. But he says the same thing to us. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. But why is it that we don't always see it or we haven't seen it? Why is it for me, the miracles that I'm mentioning all have medicine involved? I want to see bigger miracles because I know he's able. But why do I want to see it? Is it to test him? Is it because I don't believe enough? Is it because I want it for my own sake? Healing comes through what? Through prayer. Jesus, through James, tells us in James 5, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is what we're instructed to do, to pray, to pray, to pray. Your part, my part, is to ask and to believe and to pray. But why is it that there's such a thing as unanswered prayer? Why is it that we don't see all our prayers for healing, for miracles, for breakthrough answered? Has anyone got any unanswered prayer in their lives today? Tomorrow, have you got an unanswered prayer in your life?
Well, I'd like to give my
testimony. Yeah, later. Great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Unanswered prayer. We all know what unanswered prayer is. But the key to all of this is prayer. Like, how are you going to get unanswered prayer if you haven't prayed? You have to have asked. So just imagine. I'm like, yo, Pete. And then Pete over there just keeps looking at me. Hey, Pete. He's not saying anything. But has he answered me? You'd probably say he hasn't. But he's actually answered me because he's ignoring me. That's his answer. He's given me an answer. So guess what? When you pray, God hears your prayers. Yes. Revelation tells us that our prayers go up to heaven as incense. They're presented by the angels as an offering. We sang it. I sought the Lord and he answered. I sought the Lord and he answered. He always answers. Always. He always hears. But it's not always going to be the way you want it or the way I want it. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. He's a faithful God. He knows what's good for us. It's not like he's just giving you a blank check to just go, yep, I want that kind of girlfriend. I want that kind of house. I want this healing. Imagine if he gave you everything you wanted. Some dude I was reading about, R.T. Kendall, great guy. He says, I'm so glad. Or you heard a song about being so glad because the girlfriend that he was asking for didn't end up becoming his girlfriend because he looked at her in 30 years. He was like, nah, man, God knew. Because I would have not been happy. So he's like, I'm thankful for unanswered prayer because God didn't give him what he was wanting. God knows best. Our part is to ask. Our part is to believe. His part is to heal, save, and deliver. That word save, sozo, it means heal, save, and deliver. That's what he does. The most important part of all of that, of healing, is salvation. It's us giving our lives to him. That is healing. That is restoration. There's no other healing or restoration or being made well more important than that. The physical healing that I might be wanting for myself or for someone else, as good as it is, it's only temporary. Our physical bodies are temporary. The best healing is yet to come. It's on the other side of eternity. It doesn't mean God does not desire to heal now, but we can get so caught up on the physical healing and be so mad at God. God, you haven't done it. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He loves when we ask Him. He loves it. But end of the day, it's up to Him. That doesn't mean you don't ask. Imagine if your children never asked. You still say no to your children because you know what's best. He knows what's best. But the gospel is the main thing. It's the main thing. So that's why I'm like, is the healing now or is the healing later? It's both. There's healing now, but there's healing later. Full restoration of all of us. Because guess what? You get healed from whatever it is today. What's going to happen maybe in 10, 20, 30 years' time? You're still going to die. I'm not making a joke of it. Death is, I've been so afraid of death all my life. But a few years ago, God set me free from it. I'm not scared of death. I'm not, because I know what's going to happen when I move from this physical body and I'm absent from the body and I'm present with the Lord. There's healing on the other side. We get so caught up on what's here now that we miss out on what God might be wanting to do through your situation with your health. Doesn't mean you stop asking, but you don't distance yourself from the Lord. Because we, our prayers don't get answered how we want. Then we distance ourselves from the Lord. Oh, God doesn't love me. God's not. But He's actually inviting you. Unanswered prayer is deliberate. He's not like, oh, should I answer it? Should I not? He knows what He's doing. The question is, do you trust Him? Do you trust what He's doing? You see, Jesus Himself advises His followers in the Bible in Luke chapter 14. He's talking to them about hosting a banquet or going to a banquet. He says to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, invite the crippled, invite the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. One could presume Jesus was saying disability, people being crippled, people being blind, that will continue in this age. Who walks around every day and they see someone who's disabled and they just pray for each person? Hey, get healed. Hey, get healed. No, you have to be led by the Spirit. You have to know God's heart. When He says heal the sick, He's not just saying everywhere you go. Just be doing that. This is part of our broken world. There is a reason why He says heal the sick. There's a reason why He wants to heal. There's a reason why He wants to do miracles. And we'll get into that in a moment. But He knew the reality. Yes, He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to save and to heal. But there's also times when He does it, and there's time where His heart might not be in that situation. I can't explain any of this stuff, and I'm not here to. It's a mystery. Why? Because I've got so many unanswered prayers. My mom is sick, and I'm praying 6 years, been praying with all the faith, but she's still sick and she's getting worse. And I'm like, Lord, what's that about? He's like, just keep trusting me. Just keep trusting me. Lazarus is about to die. Mary and Martha, Jesus, come. Jesus is like, yeah. Disciples are like, come, Jesus, let's go. He waits. But you know what He says? He says this sickness is not to lead to death, but it's to lead to God being glorified. They're like, man, our prayers are not being answered. Mary and Martha are thinking. Jesus rocks up 4 days later. Oh, yeah, good on you, Jesus. But He knew exactly what He was doing. He comes and He raises Lazarus from the dead. That glorifies God. That shows people, shows us today who God is. Now, that doesn't mean every time we pray, something's going to happen in that way. But every time we live, every time we pray, our hope is here. Our hope is Jesus. And salvation, just having relationship with him, should be more than enough. But then out of that, he will show you when he wants to heal. He'll show you when to pray for this or that. And even if you pray for it, if it's not his will in the moment, he's not going to go, you got it wrong. He's just going to partner with your faith and do what he needs to do in that moment. It's a mystery. I've got a good friend. They all seem to be Zimbabweans, even though I've got so many Aussie friends. But this guy lost his 4-month-old daughter. And he said, man, I prayed to God. And I said, God, don't take her. Take me. Take me. But God didn't. He's like, how can I have faith in God? He's like, I'm done with God. And part of me is like, dude, I don't blame you. Because this is so real. You guys can relate when you've prayed and things haven't happened. But God knows. And the last thing you tell someone in that situation is, oh, God's got a purpose in that. God's testing you. And he was telling me, people have said that to him. You just pray with them. You're just present with them. And they see your love on them. And God works. And God brings healing in whatever way he wills. But this is so real. But we've got to remember, this earth is temporary. And none of this is to say, guys, stop believing for healing. None of this is saying stop praying for it. But this is to say the most important thing is your intimacy with God. Yeah. You're trusting him is the most. If you're going to stop trusting him because he didn't come through for what you wanted, then you've got it wrong and I've got it wrong. See, when it comes to unanswered prayer, we're in good company. Because Jesus himself was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he say? Lord, take this cup of suffering away from me. Take this cup of suffering away from me. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. But then he says, nevertheless, we heard this from Josh this morning. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Your will. There's nothing wrong with praying. Your will be done. Growing up, I remember getting into the prosperity gospel, and people would say, don't pray, your will be done. Pray a prayer of faith. If you say, your will be done, you're pretty much canceling your prayer. No. Imagine if you said, Lord, give me wisdom, but your will be done. It's his will for you to have wisdom. There's things where you need to pray, your will be done. And there's things where you don't need to, but it comes to knowing his will. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may be able to test and approve God's perfect and pleasing will. Will I ever really know whether God in the moment is wanting to heal someone I'm praying for or not? I'm not sure, but I'm growing in it. And we'll all be growing in it as long as you're just looking to Jesus. But it's about never giving up. Don't let your situation limit what you believe God is able to do. See, with my wrist, I would be like, God hasn't healed this. How can I go up the front and pray for people that need healing when I haven't seen it in my own life? That's a lie of the enemy. You can pray because it's not about you. It's not about what's happening in your life. It's about Jesus, the healer, that is in you. True faith stands whether God does it now or not. Because he is God and he is worthy of our trust. We just need to depend on him. Early on when I got into full-time ministry, there was a young man in his 30s. And he had this genetic condition where his brain was just disintegrating and it was affecting his whole immune system. And we prayed with him in hospital. We had worship meetings. We did everything. The whole church was praying. All of Yuma City gathered and prayed for him. Life groups prayed for him. He had a child and a pregnant wife. And a week before his wife gave birth to their second child, he passed away. And I'm like, man, Lord, how do we deal with this? They called me to come and pray for him to come back to life in his lounge room. And I'm like, are you for real? I'm like, oh, heal the sick, raise the dead. I'll go there in faith. Me, Pastor Barry, we go in there together. There's like 30 people just looking at this guy on the ground, worshiping, praying. And I'm like, Lord, let's go. So praying faith, seeking God's heart, pray for resurrection. Lord, you can do it. And he doesn't come back to life. And as I'm praying, I just get this picture of him dancing with the angels in heaven. And I just start to say, guys, he is now dancing with the angels in heaven. And we start committing his life to God. You know, we activated our faith. We did what we needed to do. But God was there and he was moving. And his life, his story brought so much glory to God. And there's things we can never understand or explain. But once again, this life is temporary. It's about, are you staying close to God right now? In your everyday to hear what he's saying. Don't give up praying. When we face unanswered prayer, we just got to keep leaning in on him. Leaning in. There's just, I'm like, Lord, I almost have more stories of unanswered prayer in my life. But that's probably because I focus on those things. But if I try to focus on what I'm thankful for, I'll see what he's done. But God teaches us all through this stuff. And it's all so fresh for me. Just 2 weeks ago, a good mate of mine, he's not Zimbabwean this time, Aussie dude, lives in the States. He's got a brother in Byron Bay. He gets a call from his mum. Hey, you need to come home. It's your brother. His brother's pretty much committed suicide. And now he's in hospital on life support. He's got major brain damage. And they're like, there's not going to be a good outcome out of this. And he has to fly all the way from LA to Byron Bay. And he's a man of faith. And he's telling me, I'm saying to God, do I just bust into that hospital with faith and I come back to life? Everything's going to be all right. Or do I just go in there and say, Lord, thank you for his life. Give him to God. But he had to pray. That was him praying. That's him talking to the Lord. And the Lord led him that way of releasing him to the Lord. You see, signs and wonders, they're supposed to follow us. Signs and wonders are actually to point us to Jesus, not to us. The signs and wonders, they're to point people to Jesus and not to us. We're to ask for them. This is not about stop desiring signs and wonders. This is not saying miracles are not on the table. They're not on the menu. No, miracles are. We are to ask for them. But we need to realize they're his work, not our work. Yes, he says you'll do even greater. But it's through him. It's his work. It's to bring him glory. And it's to strengthen your faith and my faith. In Acts chapter 4, 29 to 30. The apostles have been going through so many tough things, persecution, trials, and they pray this prayer. They say, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. They're asking God to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're asking for signs and wonders. Acts is full of signs and wonders. But we're to remember that signs and wonders are to bring Jesus glory. Not me, not you. What's your motivation? I'll ask you again. When you're praying for someone to be healed, what's your motivation? Is it self-motives about your own prayer life? Or is it actually the motivation is Christ-like compassion? Is it actually because you're really moved with compassion like Jesus was moved when he would see someone that was sick, when he would see someone that has faith wanting a move of God? What is your motivation? When Jesus heals today, when Jesus healed back then, This is the main thing about what I'm talking about today. When he healed back then, when he heals today, it is all a foretaste of what is to come. It's all a foretaste. So let's not get hung up when things might not happen or the healing does not come, because it's just a foretaste. He used that to show us who he is, show us what he's able to do, and we need to keep desiring it, but we should never stop looking to him just because he didn't do what we wanted him to do. Revelation 21 verse 4. Healed then, healed now, or healed later. Revelation 21, 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is what we're looking to. A day is coming where he will wipe every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Jesus said, and these signs will follow you. You'll pray for those that are sick and they will be healed. He said, when my spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Signs, witnesses. That's what it's for, is to point to Jesus. Jesus is the healer. If the worship team could come and join me. Jesus is the healer. We don't do the healing. It does my head in when someone says, man, I've got a story. I healed this person the other day. People say that. And I'm like, did you? Oh, you should see this guy, man. He's in ministry. He heals people. And they've either got it wrong, or the person's got it wrong, or we can all just get it wrong sometimes. But we don't do the healing. Jesus does the healing today. Jesus is the one that gets the credit. Rhonda gave Jesus the credit today. So if you know that it's to glorify him, if you know that he gets the credit, that should take so much pressure off us. Because sometimes we're trying to pray for someone, we're like, oh, Lord, is he going to get healed? Are they going to get healed? Am I saying the right words? It's not about you. It's not about me. He's the one who gets the glory. He's the one that does the healing. What you and I need to focus on is our intimacy with him, our time with him, our walking with him every single day. Do you enjoy intimacy with the Father? Do you enjoy coming to him in prayer? Are you growing in prayer? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. How are you going to enjoy his benefits if you're not actually intimate with the Father, enjoying time with him through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit? We're to enjoy intimacy with the Father. We're to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. As you do that, he reveals his heart. He reveals why he's doing something maybe, or why he's not doing, and maybe he might not even, but you just depend on what you know from the Word. Depend on his presence. You know, faith, trust, real faith is still trusting him when nothing happens. We sung about the fourth man in the fire. We heard about him in our prayer meeting. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those three. Nebuchadnezzar, he said to them, we're going to chuck you in the fire because you won't stop praying. You won't stop worshiping your God. I want you to worship my gods. But he says to them, well, we're going to put you in the fire and let's see if your God's going to save you. But what did they say? They said, our God's going to save us, but even if he does not save us, we're still not going to worship your God. That is faith. Oh, you didn't get healed because you didn't have enough faith. Come on, let's stop that. Just get in the Word, grow in the Word. The faith grows, the faith comes. Obey his Word, and be faithful no matter what. No matter what the answered prayer is, if you feel you haven't had an answer from the Lord about that thing you're praying for, keep asking. Keep praying. Don't stop. But you also have to be like, Lord, if you want me to stop, if you want me to stop asking about that specific, Lord, reveal it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. He will show you. But the Bible says, ask and keep on asking. Can we stand this morning? Let's keep drawing near. Let's read His Word. Let's be obedient. Let's grow in prayer. Let's abide in Him. This is the key. I'm going to finish with this. John 15, verse 5 to 7. John 15, 5 to 7. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I'll jump to 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. It's about abiding. If you're abiding in him, if you're remaining in him, one with the Lord, one with Jesus. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you're not just using it as a token name. You're actually using it because God is showing you what to pray, how to pray. You've delighted yourself in the Lord and He's wanting to grant the desires of your heart because your heart's desires have become His desires. Your heart's desires have come from His desires. So it's all about abiding in Him. It's not so much about, am I healed now? Am I healed later? It's actually about, am I abiding in Him? Am I remaining in Him? So today, maybe you've stopped believing. Have you stopped believing that He's the healer? Maybe there's unanswered prayer in your life. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you. Maybe you actually need prayer for healing. We want to pray.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.